doing? Now, I don't know about y'all, but this week, I think like 1,000 people got the flu that I know of, and I don't know what they're releasing in the air, but and it was hilarious. So about half of my staff got sick, and I was roasting them all week. You got to pray more. You got to have, you know, confess all your sins. You know, what are you doing? And then lo and behold, Thursday, I got sick. And so it's real. It's a real thing now. So it wasn't fake. It's actually real. and actually, KJ's sick today, so he's not here. So this one's for KJ, my son, who I love. All right, so we are in our values series. We are on week 3, okay? So week number 1, what do we talk about? Lordship. Jesus does not just want to be our Savior. He wants to be our Lord. That's his identity. He can't help it. He can't change it. We have to deal with it, right? Oh, there we go. That's better. Hallelujah. Okay. I hope I don't have to do a handheld. That's my nightmare. All right. Week 2. What was week 2? Evangelism. And evangelism, it's more of an attitude. It's more of a heart for people. And when you have that attitude, that heart for people with the desire to, people just naturally will come and hear you speak about Jesus. And it's powerful. I love evangelism. So today, week 3, we are going to talk about leadership development. Leadership development. We as a church, we as a ministry, we as a movement, we value leadership development. Leadership development. And this is an amazing topic. This is a really, really cool topic. And I got a good word for y'all. So before we get going, let's pray. Lord, we love you. We thank you for today. Father, I pray that you would speak through me. Lord, I pray that you would be honored. You would be glorified. And Father, give me the ability to speak really quickly and shortly. In Jesus' name, amen. All right. Everybody said amen. All right. I remember when I was playing football at the University of Hawaii, I was going to one of our Every Nation churches over there, and we had a great pastor. He was a great man, and let's just say during that time in college, I was on my journey, okay? I wasn't necessarily all in under lordship at that moment, right? And I, you know, would go to church on Sunday at this church, but then Monday through Saturday, other things would happen, and it wasn't until later where Jesus really saved me that my life turned around. But during that time, I would go to church and the senior pastor would come to me. He's like, Ben, you're at campus, you're at University of Hawaii, we got to start a small group. And I was like, okay, we can, but like, I'm not really living, right? You know, I didn't say that, but I wasn't really living the way I was supposed to live. And I remember we started this small group, and I remember 1 week he couldn't come, and we did it, and there were two people showed up. There were two girls that showed up. And I remember preaching, talking this little small group message, and it was awful. It was terrible. And afterwards, they were encouraging me, like, it's not that bad. Like, it's okay. Like, you know, we'll get more people. And I remember a couple weeks after that, I was at a party, a get-together, a gathering, a function, a whatever you want to call it. And I remember I had an adult beverage in my hand. And I was not serving the Lord this time. I had adult beverage in my hand, and I had a couple. And I remember at this party, to my shock, to my horror, I saw the two girls from my small group. And we had this nervous, weird, convicted laugh. And I was like, yeah, life's tough, isn't it? And at that moment, I realized that if I really was going to serve the Lord, there was a leadership development thing that was missing. That if I chose to follow Jesus, it would impact people around me. And I think some people, and this, you know, I sometimes wish it was like this, that can I just serve God by myself, right? But that's not the way God works. When God calls you to follow him, he calls you to help other people follow him. And because we're not very good people, he always wants to develop us in leadership. Is this making sense? And so one of the things I love about Jesus, and hopefully you will too, is that when Jesus calls somebody, he doesn't go after the emperors, the generals, the this, the that. He goes after the lowly like me, and he transforms us slowly and develops us. And I love that about God. So leadership development is a huge part of being a Christian. So we're going to look at 1 Peter 5, 1 through 7. 1 Peter 5, 1 through 7. And I encourage you, please turn there with me. It's a bit of a scripture. Get your phone out. Go on your Bible app. The YouVersion is a great version. Download it real quick if you need to. We got little blue Bibles all over the church in the seat backs, like a little Easter egg hunt if you can find one. That's great. I'm going to be reading in the NIV, so feel free to join me in the NIV. But it's 1 Peter 5, 1 through 7. 1 Peter 5, 1 through 7. And while you're turning there, Peter is such an amazing character in the Bible. And Peter had a front row seat to Jesus' ministry. And he saw almost everything that Jesus did. And not only the people Jesus reached and talked to, but also how he developed leaders, how he developed the disciples, how he elevated people around him. And so Peter has just a phenomenal perspective. And we don't have time to go into it this morning, but Peter was really taken through a lot of deep developmental lessons as a leader. But 1 Peter 5, 1 through 7 says this. He says, "To the elders among you, I appeal as a fellow elder and a witness of Christ's suffering, who also will share in the glory to be revealed. Be shepherds of God's flock that is under your care, watching over them, not because you must, but because you are willing, as God wants you to be, not pursuing dishonest gain, but eager to serve, not lording it over those entrusted to you, but being examples to the flock. And when the chief shepherd appears, you will receive the crown of glory that will never fade away. In the same way, you who are younger, submit yourself to your elders. All of you, clothe yourself with humility toward one another. God opposes the proud, but he shows favor or grace to the humble. Humble yourself, therefore, under God's mighty hand, that he may lift you up in due time. Cast all of your anxiety on him because he cares for you." This is a great scripture. We're going to break this down. We're going to pull out 5 points from this scripture that I believe the text asks of us and wants us to answer. And this is a really, really, really powerful passage. But Peter is writing to 5 churches in modern-day Turkey. And when he wrote a letter to a church, he would write it to, like, let's say if he wrote it to our church, someone would get up and read it, and then he would talk to different groups of the church, but everybody could hear. And so in chapter 5, he switches from talking to the entire church, and he narrows in on a group of people. He says, "To the elders." To the elders. Now, the elders are not just the olders, but the people who God has called to lead in that church, okay? And so, point number one, in verse number one, it's to the elders among you. This is really the first part, the first lesson from this passage about leadership, is that eldership and leadership is always among the people. It's never above the people. It's never apart from the people. Jesus didn't say, "Hey, I'm going to do all this stuff totally away from you." He went down and got dirty with us, with the people, and he said, "Come follow me, and I'm going to be with you." Leadership is always among the people. So I don't know if you guys knew this about me, or if you're new, you probably didn't know, but I grew up in New Zealand. So when I was 8 years old, my family moved to New Zealand, which is down by Australia. It's on the other side of the Pacific. It's a long way away. And the crazy thing about New Zealand is when I lived there, there were 4 million people, but there were 40 million sheep there. There were sheep everywhere. And they are delicious. No, they are delicious, but they're really cute. And I remember, if you're a young boy, and you're like, I was like 10 or 11 or 12, and you're walking past a field, and you see all of these little fluffy sheep running around, what's your natural instinct going to be? "I'm going to go chase me a sheep, and I'm going to grab it, and I'm going to see what the sheep is all about." And so I remember me and my 3 sisters, we would jump over the fence, and we would go chase these sheep around the field, and they don't look that fast, but sheep are kind of fast. And they're really shifty. And then, you know, once in a while, my sister and I, we'd corner them, like get them in a corner. And then we'd try to jump on them and wrestle them. And they'd knock us off real quick. And you realize that they're kind of stronger than you think they are. And you find out very quickly that a terrible way to lead a sheep is to wrestle them to do what you want them to do. The best way, really the only way to lead sheep, is you have a good shepherd who's walking, and then you have the flock follows the good shepherd. Now, if you don't have a shepherd and you just have sheep by themselves, if one sheep goes this direction or goes away, they're so dumb, they will all follow that sheep. Even if it like goes off a cliff, they will all go off the cliff. They'll do it. And so I love this because Peter is saying, listen, you are a sheep. You are among the flock. There's one good shepherd. You're not the shepherd. Jesus is the shepherd, okay? You just be a veteran older sheep, and as you follow Jesus, hopefully they'll follow you. Stop wrestling people. So this is the first lesson of leadership, is if you have to wrestle somebody to do something, if you have to corner them and make them do something against their will, this is not biblical leadership. This is not how Jesus led. This is not how Peter led. Okay? That's worldly leadership, using authority to force people to do what you want them to do. Biblical leadership is saying, you know, I want to be developed. I want to lead. But honestly, if I'm honest, honestly, I'm just following the good shepherd. And I really hope the other sheep with me are following the good shepherd as well. So here's my question. Do you identify with the flock? Do you identify with the flock? Is this some church you just come to on Sundays, but it's not really your people, not really your thing? Do you, and to the elders here, to the leaders in this church, do you just tell people to do stuff or do you really do it with them? Are you among the people? Right? I have to check myself. Am I just getting up here and just preaching at you? Am I preaching with you that we're all learning this together? Because we are all the same flock. Right? Pastor Ron is not the shepherd. I'm not the shepherd. We are following the good shepherd. Right? And so we have to remember that humility is such a huge part of this. Leadership is about being among the flock. Among the flock. And I love the tone Peter uses. He says, I appeal to you as elders. Because he was an elder too. He's saying, listen, this guy was the top three of Jesus' disciples. He was like the head of the church in Jerusalem. He was the main guy. And instead of coming in and saying, I'm Peter the apostle, I walked with Jesus, I know better, he said, I appeal to you because I'm among you and I'm just following the good shepherd. So please, with me, let's follow the good shepherd. I'm among you. Good. Number two, we shepherd God's flock. It's not your flock. It's not our flock. This church, it's our church, but it's God's church. It's God's church. So anything that you do in leadership, if you want to do it biblically, right, you have to realize that this is not our flock. This is God's flock. I was supposed to bring a little example today, but I forgot it. But when I was in high school, we had all these video games, right? We had computer games or Xbox games or PlayStation games. And, you know, they come in a little case and they have a little CD thing, right? And one side has the picture and the other side is like the mirror, right? Okay, and so we would let somebody borrow our game, right? Let's say it's like an Xbox game. We'd say, okay, you can borrow it for 1 week. But if you scratch it on the bottom, you got to get me a new one. And we were fanatical about it. We would be checking it up to the light, you know. And it was, anybody else do that? No, okay, I guess not. Anyway, you guys should let people borrow stuff, selfish. That's crazy. But what was happening, it wasn't our game. We just got to play it for a little bit. Now, our Bible says that this church is the bride of Christ. And one day Jesus is coming back for a bride with no blemish, a CD with no scratches. If you want to lead in church, you have to realize if I'm going to lead, I've got to follow Jesus' example. He's the good shepherd, and I cannot hurt this flock because it is not my flock. I am one of the flock. And I think this would protect a lot of church leaders. And even if you're just leading one person in discipleship, right? Or you're just leading yourself to church. Don't hurt yourself. You know what I'm saying? Follow Jesus. It's not your flock. Also in verse 2, it says, not for dishonest gain, but to serve. Are you serving God's flock? Or are you using this flock for your own gain? To get what you want, to start your own ministry, right? To get friendship, to get this. Or you really have a heart to say, I want to serve the flock because it's not my flock. Do you treat this church like God's church? Do you have a good attitude like it's God's church? Or when you have a bad attitude, you just have a bad attitude? Do you show up on time because this is God's church? Do you bring your best because this is God's church? Or do you treat this like something that you can give or take and you don't really need it? For the leaders, for the elders, do you steward this like it's God's church? Or are you trying to make it into a version of you? Are you using your giftings and your anointing and whatever to manipulate and coerce people to do what you want them to do? Or in the fear of God, do you realize that I'm a sheep that's kind of helping shepherd, but I'm still a sheep and this is God's flock. It is not my flock. Number 3, you lead by example. This is in verse 3. He said, listen. He said, lead by example. So I've been in campus ministry for about 5 years now, actually just over 5 years. And when I first got here, maybe the first 4 years, every single chair that needed to be moved for campus ministry, I moved it. Every table that needed to be set up, I set it up. Every PowerPoint, everything that needed to be done, I got it. I'm the only one here, I'm going to do it. But this last year, something miraculous has happened. God has brought just this tremendous leadership of students, these students that are just have servants' hearts and anointed by God. And so now we have these wonderful teams that can set up and break down. And last week I was out of town and our team ran a whole college night without me. And it was unbelievable. It was amazing. But 2 weeks ago, I remember I preached at college night and it was going well. And our teams were just rolling and I hadn't moved a chair in a couple weeks. And after the service, it was kind of winding down and I noticed that our chairs aren't getting moved back as fast as they normally do. And I saw a lot of our girls were moving chairs. And some of our guys weren't moving chairs. And everything in me wanted to go to the guys and say, who do you think you are? You know? But the Holy Spirit stopped me and said, Bed, whose flock is this? How do you lead? And so I started picking up chairs and moving chairs. And it wasn't perfect because I was definitely over-complimenting the girls and being real snarky with the guys. So I'm still learning and growing. But the principle's true is if you see something that needs to be done, you lead by example. And this is not talking about you have to do everything. God gives people giftings and abilities. He gives people... Like, there's some things that I hate to do that someone else, they get life from doing it. I'm like, oh my gosh, you know? Like, Ariana is a perfect example. Like, I have to tell her, like, stop taking notes, stop making spreadsheets, because she just loves it. She's just all day. That's how she thinks, right? But that exhausts me, right? And so leading by example is not me doing every spreadsheet, but it's having a heart to say, I will never ask you to do something that I would not do myself. And there's nothing beneath me. I will do whatever it takes to honor God because I'm among the sheep. It's his flock and we must lead by example. And how are we tempted to lead? We're tempted to lead by position. I'm the boss. I'm the parent because I said so. We're tempted to lead by gifting. If you're charismatic, If you're an influencer, right, we're tempted to lead by anointing, by anything, by manipulation, by anything except for leading by example. And the tricky one about this is Jesus sees your heart. And he sees not what you do externally, but if you're willing and serving to lead by example internally. Is this making any sense to anybody? Yes. Lead by example. If this church is not the way that you think it should be, maybe we need you to lead by example and help us. Please help us. Please lead by example. Serve by example. Do you lead by example or something else? Here's a tricky one. Do you follow someone who has a good example, or do you follow somebody who just meets a need in your life? If we looked at your social media, who you're following, are you following people who have proven track records of following Jesus, who have a heart to serve, a heart for ministry? Or do you follow people who are selfish, have selfish ambition, who use people, right, who are lusty, who are emotionally driven? Or do you follow spiritual people? If we looked at your life, who you're modeling, do you model your life based on men and women of God or men and women of the world? Which herd are you walking with? Are you leading by example? And are you following those that lead by example? Number four. This is in verse 6. It says, humble yourself under God's mighty hand, and he will lift you up. This is so key in leadership development. If you want to be the greatest, you got to be the least. Jesus said, I did not come to be served, I came to serve. Leadership development, leadership in the kingdom of God is all about humility, serving others, and then watching as Jesus brings the giftings and the character out of you. And then before you know it, you've just moved up a couple places in the herd. You're now following Jesus a little closer than you were. And you look around you and you got all these other cute little sheep that are following you too as you follow Jesus. It's all about humility. Humble yourself under God's mighty hand and he will lift you up. You see, we value leadership development. We really value humility. You know, the people that I look to, that I look at, and really encourage and really want on my team are two types of people. Or not two types of people. People with these two traits. And number one, are they teachable? Are they teachable? Do they want to learn? Are they a lifetime learner? Are they hungry? And number two, do they want to serve? Do they have a heart to serve? Is going to church all about them getting fed? Is it all about them, what they want, what they can do? Or is it about how they can serve others? And those two traits, that's what I look for when I'm looking to get leaders. And we had a young man this week just tremendously serve almost every day this week he was serving above and beyond. I called him. I said, listen, you exemplify these two traits. I said, I've only ever talked to three people about full-time ministry, and you're one of them. And so I just want to give a shout-out to Jabari. Jabari's been interning with us since January, and he volunteered, helped the entire women's conference, which, holy cow, that's the last thing I want to do on planet Earth. No, it's not, but I was watching KJ at home. But Jabari did that. Jabari led the way when I was sick this Thursday. He helped with evangelism. He just, day after day, he helped set up for the whole women's conference almost by himself and stayed late, came early. And so, good job, Jabari. Lead by example. So here's my question. Jabari, you got a little fluffier this week. A little more sheep-like. Sounded better in my head. Here we go. All right. Here's my question. Are you trying to lift yourself up, or are you humbling yourself and letting God lift you up? Are you trying to promote yourself, or are you trusting that as you humble yourself and serve, God will pull leadership out of you? I tell our students all the time, I say, if you want to lead, just start serving people in your life, and they will hand you the keys of leadership. If you start cleaning for people and serving people and praying for people and loving on people and buying people lunch, they will turn around and say, you know what? My life's not going great. Your life seems like it's going better than mine. Let me follow you. Take me through the one-to-one. Mm-hmm. You know what? College night doesn't sound so bad anymore. I'll check out your church. Are you trying to lift yourself up? And are you trying to develop people outside of God's plan of humility? Are you trying to make people into your own image or into God's image? Are you trying to develop people and encourage people and push people into a worldly way of leadership? Are you saying, you know what, I humble myself under God's hand. Just humble yourself with me and let's let God raise us both up how he wants us to. Number five, last one. I love this verse. It's verse 7. It says, cast your anxiety on him. He cares for you. He is the good shepherd. You see, the only reason that we can even think about leadership development and that God doesn't leave us in the dust, in the dirt, in the mire, in the mud, is because Jesus cares for us. And he says, I'm going to tell you to follow me like little sheep, but I'm going to slowly develop you so that you can help me shepherd this flock. And I'm going to bring giftings and traits out of you, and I'm going to give you nobility, and I'm going to give you honor. Why? Because I actually care for you. John 10, Jesus describes himself as, I am the good shepherd, and the shepherd lays his life down for the sheep. Here's my question for you on this point. Are you following the good shepherd, or do you want to be your own shepherd? Are you following Jesus? Are you trying to be your own shepherd? Are you trying to co-shepherd your life with Jesus? Jesus, you take Sundays. I'll take a couple days. When I'm tired, I'll take those days. When I'm with my Christian friends, you take those days. When it's my friend's 21st birthday, I'll take those days. Uh-oh. When my crush is in town, I'll take those days. Wednesday night prayer, once a month, you take those days. Are you following the good shepherd? Or do you want to be your own shepherd? And now the truth is, even thinking of ourselves as a shepherd is so arrogant because we have no idea where to go, what to do. The Bible clearly describes what happens when we try to be our own shepherd. We end up being a lost sheep that the good shepherd has to go find and bring back to him. And I love, Pastor Ron talked about this last week about evangelism, is it doesn't say, hey, sheep, leave the flock and go get lost sheep. It says the shepherd leaves the 99 to get the lost sheep. Even evangelism is just us as sheep following Jesus. Oh, you're going to get somebody lost? Okay, I'm coming with you. Just following Jesus. Jesus is the good shepherd. We're not the good shepherd. Are we following the good shepherd? Are we trying to be our own shepherd? And here's the thing, too, is when you are in a church, you realize very quickly that everybody is just a sheep. The highest apostle to the lowest whatever, we're just sheep. And so if you're not following the shepherd, you're just following the other sheep, you can get led astray and hurt pretty easily. But if you're following, yeah, there's a sheep in front of me, they're following the shepherd, but the sheep goes this way and the shepherd goes this way, I'm just going to keep following the shepherd. That's when leadership development can take off. Because you'll notice that if you just follow the good shepherd, he'll take care of everything. He'll take care of everything. And so people, we just got done at the ENC talking about church hurt, but people get hurt in church because they're following sheep, not the good shepherd. Now, if you're a sheep and you're following the good shepherd, I'll follow you as you follow the shepherd. But as soon as you stop, bye, see you later, like here we go. Right? You got to follow the good shepherd if we're sheep. And there's a bunch of verses popping in my head right now. So they're wolves dressed as sheep among you, right? It says, my sheep know my voice, right? If we follow the good shepherd, that's our goal. And as we do that, God will take care of all the leadership that we need, all the needs that we have, if we follow him. And so as we conclude today, we talk about this journey of God taking us as a little sheep and kind of helping us shepherd his flock, which is amazing that he would give us any responsibility, right? I would probably just stay sheep, I'll do everything. But instead he says, no, you be sheep, but I'm going to transform you into my little sheep shepherds. And as we look at the good shepherd, we have to see that over here he did something completely opposite. You see, the Bible says that when John the Baptist saw Jesus coming, he says, here comes the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. You see, the good shepherd didn't stay a good shepherd. He actually came down to earth 2,000 years ago and became our sacrificial sheep, right? You see, if we get obsessed with sheep becoming shepherds, we lose sight of the fact that the good shepherd became a sheep and died in our place so that we could even have relationship with him. You see, this leadership development is really about Jesus, that the leader that we're following is worthy. And if you want to develop me into a janitor, praise God. If you want to develop me into a president, praise God, because I follow the only one who is worthy. And any leadership development outside of me following Jesus is wrong, and it's not good. Leadership development is about following the good shepherd who became a sheep and died in our place. But it doesn't stay there. Not only is Jesus a sheep, but the Bible says Jesus is the Lion of Judah. You see, he didn't stay dead. He's a roaring, ferocious lion, and he is the great leader that we can follow. And I'll tell you this, it may seem like on earth, oh, the Christians, we're just meek and mild. We just have to do this. No. Christianity has been here for thousands of years. It's the oldest religion from the worship of Yahweh. It will be here thousands of years after both me and you are gone, because we serve the Lion of Judah. And the world's going to end not when we get killed and persecuted, but when the lion comes back and devours all of his enemies. So we can sheep, we can follow the lion, because he will be victorious, because he's the good God. He's the good shepherd, and we follow him. Yes. See, we don't have to be sheep to the slaughter, because he was sheep for the slaughter. Let's pray. Lord, we love you. Thank you for today. Lord, I thank you for the opportunity to have a relationship with you. I thank you for the opportunity that you give us by dying on the cross for us 2,000 years ago, that we can be your sheep and follow you as the good shepherd. Lord, I pray that you would push out any evil spirits that of false leadership, of trying to control people, manipulate people, or follow our own selfish ambition to get financial gain or emotional gain. We pray against that in the name of Jesus. And Lord, we repent if there's any of that in this church that has gone unnoticed or not been talked about. I pray that you would expose it and you would forgive us for it and you would cast it out of this church. And Lord, I pray that you would help every single person in here this week learn how to be a better sheep and follow you closer in the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. Praise God. All right. Well, if you need prayer, we would love to pray for you. After the service, our prayer team will be up the front. Have a great week. Sickness is real, so be careful, okay? I can't confirm. But can we all rise or stand up as we close? All rise. All right. Well, God bless you. Have a great Sunday, and we'll see you next week. Or prayer on Wednesday. Have a great Sunday.